no penalties here. It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show podcast with Drew Mindell, Ezra Ginsberg, and Dave Manute.
Welcome back to this segment of the program brought to you by Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty, official realtors of Illegal Curve Hockey. When 95% of your clients come via referral, it shows your commitment to honesty, integrity, and a total dedication to client satisfaction. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, come shake hands with Frank and Mauro Zappia online at zappiagroup.com.
Drew, so I know. Go ahead. Yep.
I was going to say, so nice to see our buddy Frank in yesterday's Winnipeg Free Press.
Yep.
Doing a great job of trying to get some affordable housing for the people in Winnipeg, some people who need some assistance in maybe getting some housing. And our buddy Frank is certainly taking the lead on that. So that was a great article, a great interview with him in yesterday's Winnipeg Free Press.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Drew read the article as well. And, you know, Frank is doing so many good things, you know, in the community, real estate included. So it was great to see our good friend and longtime sponsor, Zappia Group. I was going to wait a little bit later into the show to you know, pull this out. But, you know, I saw a few people, you know, in the chat that are, you know, guaranteeing Jets wins. I am going to guarantee a Jets win as well. Wow. And if the Jets win, I'm so confident in Jets winning tonight, I will shave the beard off and get a haircut for the first time since October. So, yes, put that on the board, boys.
Wait, again, if they win, that's what you'll do? Or if they lose,
I want to shave. That's what I'm saying. I want the Jets to win tonight. So if the Jets win, and also Naomi's birthday is coming up in a couple of weeks, and I can't be seen in public like this. So if the Jets win, the beard and the hair will be cut. I'll probably, you know, keep a little bit of the beard. Like, it'll be just nice and short.
Can we up the odds by shaving you live on air?
We've done that once before.
Yeah, but that was radio, Dave. That was radio.
That was radio. And that was for just that was Movember. Ezzy and I had done Movember that year, and we shaved live on air. It was funny. Sure.
What the hell? Funny, let's do it.
No. First of all, this is my house. He's not shaving. He can shave his beard if he does that show at somebody else's house. He's not doing it in my. I'll have hair for years in that floor if he shaves. No live shave. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, honestly, last time we did this, like, Naomi helped me, and it looked like a husky, like David Alter's dog had just been sheared. Like, it's a lot of hair. Because the thing is, like, you can see I have a big beard, but, like, what's happened? Because yeah, I haven't.
We can,
you
know, see that. You're
I haven't
right.
shaved
that's
the beard in 4 months.
Okay, so
I have to admit, I have been trimming the mustache, but, like, it gets curled in here. Like, it gets really, like, it starts to curl up. So this is thick.
Dave,
as exciting as that is, as I'm sure your people are interested in your grooming techniques, but just there is an update from head coach Paul Maurice. Adam Lowry has not been diagnosed with a concussion, but he's being held out as a precaution. And he says, and Scott Billick just tweeted, Lowry has passed his test, just not at 100%. So that's important to know. It's good news. Mm-hmm. It seems like he's not too. And you know, the truth is they just have a few days before that game against the Oilers. So no point in taking a risk. Obviously, if he's not at 100%, you don't put him in anyways, but it sounds like it's good news for Adam Lowry. It sounds like they're going to hold him up for precautionary reasons. So that's kind of that's an important update coming out of the availability with head coach Paul Maurice.
Okay, yes, can we go back to my beard now?
Yeah, no, please resume. I'm sure everybody in the chat, now that they got that information and they can go to illegalcurve.com and read it, will be able to want to hear, resume your talk about your trimming and your beard.
No, go ahead. Come on, you said it.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I just hope that the Jets win because this thing is going to come off. And, you know, the weather's starting to get nicer. And I got to say, Jordy Ben's got a nice little beard going too.
Well, speaking of Jordy Ben, he's out of the Jets lineup. Excellent segue, Ezzy. Appreciate that. He's out of the Jets lineup for tonight's game against the Maple Leafs. Logan Stanley back in for the Jets lineup. And you wonder if the physical nature of Thursday night's game and the discussion we had about that back in the hour number one of today's show has any bearing on that decision. But that is important to note as well. So that basically you're going to see two lineup changes for the Winnipeg Jets. Jansen Harkins moves in back into the lineup with Adam Lowry being held out for precautionary reasons, and Jordy Ben comes out of the lineup and Logan Stanley comes back in. I mean, you know, I'm just confused a little bit. You know, Jordy Ben plays on Thursday night, his first night, first game as a Winnipeg Jet, plays 11 minutes. I don't believe Jordy Ben should be in the top six of the Jets lineup. I don't think he's one of the top six defensemen on the roster, but I'm not sure what you see or what you don't see from a player playing his first game in a month and playing a grand total of 11 minutes, I'm not sure how much information you can glean from that opportunity.
Yeah, no, it's a good point, Drew. And that kind of goes back to the downfall of this kind of left side third pairing rotation that we expect here, right? Because we talked about this with Teddy Wyman during the first hour, right? Like, I think Dave would agree with me. I think you want to see Ville Heinola in the majority of these games, right? So whether that's 5 games, 6 games, you know, maybe it's 9 of 10 games, I have no idea. But there is a downside to using this rotation where, you know, Ben comes in, gets his first game, then Logan Stanley comes in, and then you'd assume against Edmonton, Drew, a team that they've had struggles against this year, that Ville Heinola would come in against Edmonton, right? Because you don't want to have Ville Heinola, missing game. No, I shouldn't say missing games. You don't want to see Ville Heinola not playing games for too long. So that would kind of be my best guess, that Heinola comes into the lineup. But yeah, I don't think, you know, you can really take too much out of one game with Jordy Ben. And I guess you might have been saying as well there in a roundabout way that maybe you expected Ben to play another game in a row. And I do think that Ben is going to get into maybe a few more games down the stretch. But I agree with you. I think you want to see the 6th defenseman that you ideally want to use in the playoffs. You want to see that group here over the next 10 games.
Yeah, I don't know what I expected. I really don't, because it just seems like, you know, Paul Maurice, almost when it comes to that third pairing defense, is flipping a coin. And I'm not sure what his decision making is when it comes to these lineup decisions as of late. And I get wanting to see Ben play a game for the Jets. You bring him over from Vancouver, you want to see maybe what you have there. But you play him on the side that he's not as good on. And you play him for 11 minutes. So what did that prove? If, you know, and we've talked about it, I just don't see any consistency or any plan, master plan, with some of the decision-making that's going on the back end as of late.
Well, and just to answer maybe your question, but also the question Ty has been trying to ask me in the chat about Ville Heinola. He's got 4 games left in terms of his ELC. In terms of he can play 4 more games for the Winnipeg Jets, and then before they burn the ELC. So that's one thing. Maybe it's a factor. I mean, again, ultimately at the end of the day, if you're thinking about winning, then it shouldn't matter. And again, like I said, we've talked about this previously. Blake Wheeler doesn't care about Ville Heinola's ELC sliding another year. Mark Scheifele doesn't care about that. Connor Hellebuyck doesn't care about that. Josh Morrissey doesn't care about that. Now, I understand those are considerations for GM Kevin Cheveldayoff, but ultimately, if you think, and I agree with that's what I was going to say about Richard. At the end of the day, Paul Maurice doesn't care about the ELC. I mean, again, he's factoring in Ville Heinola and being a Winnipeg Jet long term, but at the same time, he has to put in the lineup that, in theory, he has to put in the lineup he thinks is going to win him games. And if that means you burn Ville Heinola's ELC, then you burn it, because, again, like I said, while it's not ideal, while maybe having it slide would be a good thing from a long term perspective. You want to do what's going to be best for
you. Do you really think that's a consideration?
I know, like, I'm not saying you were kind of, I
didn't think you were. I just don't think so. Right. No. Like I really don't. And I know Drew, I don't know if Jansen Harkins, how many more games he has left, Drew, maybe, you know, I think it's something like 3 or 4 games left before he has to be protected. Right. So, I mean,
he's got to be protected.
He's going to be protected.
It's just that he can become an exposed forward. That's it.
That's right. He qualifies as one of the forward, as the Jets needing 2 forwards who've played that 54 games over the last 2 years.
So your point, Drew, was that if Harkins doesn't qualify, then you'd probably have to sign Matty Perreault or Nate Thompson.
That's right.
Just in order to protect them. Right.
Now, that I think maybe factors into holding Adam Lowry out of the lineup.
Expose them, Dave. You're right. Yeah. So that's a consideration as well, but maybe not as much of a consideration. But we talked about this on Thursday night's postgame show.
Like, I want it 4 games away. So yeah, after there you go. Tonight, he'll be 3 games away.
Yeah, so there's a good chance that, you know, that happens, right? Because we don't know how long Lowry's going to be out of the lineup. But, you know, to expect Harkins to play 4 of the next 10 games isn't out of the question. So, I do want to see Ville Heinola, guys. Like, I realize, you know, again, we're beating a dead horse a little bit here. And Paul Maurice is ultimately the one that makes these decisions. But I think there's a good chance you are going to see Heinola quite a bit down the stretch. I don't know how many games that means, but it could mean 5 games. It could mean 6 games. But I think you got to get him into some games. He can't just be sitting on the sidelines for this long.
I want to make a note about the ELC conversation. Most teams are less concerned about burning a year of ELC. They're more concerned about a player accruing a year towards free agency.
Yeah, it's good for the player. We should be clear about that. It's better for the player.
Which is why, if you remember, Andrew Kopp did in his, he played that one game.
He burns the, yeah,
2015.
So Kopp, he burnt the year, that year, but he didn't accrue a year towards free agency. You have to play, if I'm not mistaken, it's 40 games in a normal 82 game season in which to burn, in which to get a year closer to unrestricted free agency. So that's not, I don't believe that's a factor at all.
No.
When it comes to Ville Heinola and his lack of playing time this year for the Jets. The reason he's not playing is coach's decision for the most part, and leaves me at some point in time sort of throwing up my shoulders like this and going, I just don't know anymore.
Do you not think that he's going to play that first game against Edmonton at the very least? Like, I don't think I
see. You mean the game on Monday?
Yeah. I think he goes in on Monday. I think that's part of the rotation you're going to see here with Stan. I don't think you're going to see Jordy Benn a lot. I think you maybe see Jordy Benn one or two more times, unless there's an injury. But I think you got to have Heinola playing at least half of these games.
I don't know. If he hasn't played yet, I don't know why I would expect that he's all of a sudden going to become a regular.
Or he should be playing with the Moose, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, of course, that goes without saying. Him just sitting, you know, maybe there's some value in sitting and watching for a couple of games. It's not for this length of time. There's no value there anymore. That ship has sailed. I mean, I just don't quite understand why, you know, if he's going to be a regular for the Jets come playoff time, why he hasn't already been that regular. Get him that additional familiarity with whomever he's likely to be paired with. It would appear to be likely Dylan DeMello, given that, you know, DeMello is sort of the babysitter for all those new guys who are coming in to the lineup on the back end. I don't quite understand it at all.
See, and we talked about this. Sorry, Drew. I was just going to say we talked about that as well on Thursday night. Like, I want to see Heinola in the top four. Like, again, I know a lot of this is I want to, hope.
By the way, just breaking news, Ezzy, they just sent Heinola to the Moose.
Are you joking?
No, I swear. The transaction report just came up. Heinola to the Moose.
So. Well, hey, if he's not going to play with the Jets, then I would love to see him play with the Moose, as I just said. So that's great.
The Moose play what, Dave? The next four games are at home?
Yeah.
Like they play this afternoon.
They next two games parallel the Jets game. So they play this afternoon today. So they play this afternoon, sorry, and they play Monday afternoon.
So I mean, you wonder, does he get into the Moose lineup for today's game? Again, they're playing Stockton, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they're playing Stockton. But the reality is, look, Ville Heinola last Moose game he played was against Stockton, actually, in March. I think March 13th. Then he played. Then he played in April. He played April 15th, I think, against the Leafs. So he hasn't played a lot. I mean, that's kind of one of those things you want to make sure you're getting him into games. We've talked about that. So I think it's a good move. And look, we just saw it with. I mean, actually, I think the Moose are going to be pretty loaded today. They've been rolling. They have four straight wins, and now you add, you know, Ville Heinola. Talk about a defensive impact group with Samberg, Heinola, Kovacevic, Kavanke, Noje.
Dave's getting a little excited.
I got a little fired up there. The fire wasn't just above me for a second. So the point is that you've got five of the six guys who are going to be in the – oh, and Declan Chisholm, who is day-to-day. So in theory, you could have six Moose defensemen that were all drafted by the Jets playing.
So here's the comments coming from our friends who are not on air right now. Mike McIntyre, Ken Weeb, of course. Ville Heinola will play this afternoon for the Manitoba Moose. Jets head coach Paul Maurice just said they're going to try to cycle guys in and out to get them games wherever possible. So, you know, there you go. There's some logic being at play here when it comes to using the farm team, the Manitoba Moose, over the next week or so. But the Jets leave town on Wednesday, and is the Moose series against Stockton done by Wednesday, or do they play again?
No, they go till Thursday.
They go till Thursday. So I guess there's, you know, really, you know, two or three more opportunities between now and the Jets heading out on the road for some guys to get games in with the Manitoba Moose. But it is a little curious. I mean, it was Paul Maurice himself. It wasn't us. It was Paul Maurice himself who said that he wanted to try and maybe get the Jets, ideal playoff lineup fine-tuned, but back, before they returned from the road trip. And now we're here, obviously the Jets are on this five-game homestand tonight and then Monday, Wednesday against the Oilers. And there's still a fair degree of uncertainty as to how that Jets blue line is going to look come playoff time. Less question marks up front, less question marks with the forward group, because we know who the 12 are that are going to start for the team when everyone's healthy. But the defense is still sort of, a bit of an unknown with 10 games to go in the regular season.
Yeah, and I'm more concerned about the top pair than, you know, who's going to play in the bottom pair, because I think we would all agree, guys, that, you know, Jordy Benn is probably number 8 on the depth chart, right? Like, mm-hmm. if I would say Logan Stanley right now is, if I had to, you know, guess who starts, Drew, like, all things being equal, there's no injuries, I would, mm-hmm. I would think that Logan Stanley is going to start on that third pair just based on the way he's played all year. And because really Heinola hasn't played a lot of games in the NHL. And then, you know, if Heinola isn't with the Moose or if he's up with the Jets, you know, he'll be number 7, number 8, whatever you want to call it there. But I'm more concerned about, you know, what's going on in the top four, because Derek Forbert, you know, didn't have a good game. We're not singling him out at all, but you know, Morrissey and Poolman, you know, they've played well this year. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not going to start saying, you know, that they've been awful, but I still think that I would like to see Morrissey and DeMello. I think that gives you the best chance at success. That's more of a shutdown group. And then, you know, maybe you have Logan Stanley and Tucker Poolman playing together. I have no problem with that. So that's kind of, I think it's not just Drew. I know what you're saying. Like, there's a lot of uncertainty with the defense in terms of who's going to, you know, really solidify that third pairing. But I also think on that top pairing, which is obviously going to affect the third pairing, you know, that's something, it's the mix as a whole for that D group.
You know, if Adam Lowry is Paul Maurice's security blanket among the forward group, I think Dylan DeMello is his security blanket on the defensive group. And that's why I think you're seeing DeMello play. I don't necessarily agree with playing him in the role that he's playing with, but I think that because Maurice has the least amount of confidence in the third pairing left side defenseman, that's why that player plays with DeMello, because DeMello gives Maurice the sort of the same consistent effort. Maurice knows what to get from DeMello night in and night out. That's sort of my, if I had to get inside of Paul Maurice's brain there, that's how I would sort of see why he goes about it that way.
Yeah, but now, is Neil Pionk and Derek Forbert not your security blanket? Because that's been your pair all year long, right? So if you're talking about security blankets, I mean, that's the pair that you never have to really tinker with, right? Well, so I know what you're saying, but why would you be nervous?
You yourself just said that Forbert wasn't great on Thursday. And I don't think Forbert has been great for the last few weeks. He looks tired, if you would ask me. He would be a guy that I think you would want to give Forbert maybe a couple games off between now and the end of the regular season. He's been found money for the Jets this year, but I do think that his game has dropped off a little bit, and I would look to maybe try and get him a little bit more recalibrated prior to the start of the playoffs, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's definitely, sorry, I was trying to get the website updated and do all this at the same time, but it's definitely a function.
Dave, you need an intern. It's come to that.
Let me tell you, have we had an intern here? I think we've had a few interns at Illegal Curve, but I think his name was Darren, but the point,
Jesse Pollock.
Oh yeah, it's Jesse Pollock.
Bar Down's own Jesse Pollock was an Illegal Curve intern back in the day.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think it's just a function of, look, I think Derek Forbert has been, to your point, Drew, I think he's been found money, but I think the well's running a little bit dry with that. And I think that I think he's ideally suited to be your third pairing defenseman. I know that people like he and Pionk together, but I think you can put Ezzie with Pionk and he'd be probably a decent player. I'm kidding, of course.
But the problem with that, Dave, is that, you know, who is not going to be in the lineup that should maybe be in the lineup if Forbert's your third pairing defenseman?
Well, I'm not saying that necessarily, right? I'm just saying, like, maybe you throw in Ville Heinola into that second pair, you know, give him an opportunity to kind of thrive in that role. Maybe even Logan Stanley. We'll see. Who knows what that is. I think Drew has hit something. I think that for Paul Maurice, Dylan DeMello has become a bit of a you know, it's kind of like that, the pony that walks out with the thoroughbred out to the race. And before the race starts, sometimes horses have to have a pony that walks beside them, keeps them calm before the race. That's kind of what
Dave, you had a pony.
I did. Well, I didn't have a pony, but I had a thoroughbred once. And so I think that anytime I can make a racing analogy, I'll enjoy it. But, and it, which is, Waggles was one, Avenging Bullet, Honor Play. The Manuk family's had a few ponies.
There you go. This is from Kentucky Derby is Decadent and Depraved, the Hunter S. Thompson famous magazine article. So there you go. There's some thoroughbred horse racing conversation.
Well, why didn't you tell us it was going to be show and tell? I would have brought my, you know, signed Timu Solani stick over here.
Yeah, your beard is show and tell enough, Ezzie.
If you want me to bring out the winner circles picture, maybe that would be good accompaniment for my thing. It'll just be all the winner circle pictures. And then Drew, I'm not so bourgeoisie as you. I'm more of an Assiniboine Downs kind of guy. I keep it local. So
yeah, shout out to Double D Darren Dunn.
I was gonna say I'm not a fancy man like you. I just keep it local and go to the Downs, which, by the way, I will say, in normal times, I would advocate that people check out, because it's a real nice way to spend an evening. I don't even gamble. I'm not a gambler, but I enjoy just going in the horse racing. It's a lot of fun. So,
well, it was, you know, was sort of 9 years ago, 3 days ago. So 9 years and 3 days ago that we were at Keeneland in Lexington, Kentucky, my wedding. And the Saturday, but we got married on a Sunday. Well,
I want to clarify one thing. Andy's calling me Money Manuke. Andy, we own the hind end of the horse. It was a very, very small portion, but maybe the tail. So let's not get crazy here.
One of the hooves. You guys had hoof.
On the Saturday before we got married on the Sunday, we went to the racetrack in Lexington. The whole, you know, all of our wedding friends and wedding party.
And of course, were sipping mint juleps.
I don't know if I was sipping mint juleps, but our buddy Neil got pooped on by a bird, and good luck. And then we immediately won the next race. So, you know, things worked out, and, you know, who knew that it would pay for the entire wedding?
Okay, just on that topic, because this is a famous story. A lot of our group of friends know this story, and we'll get back into the Jets talk here. But one thing that you failed to mention about that was I don't know what it's called, but we put in, it was a group bet. Like, and you had to have the certain finish of the horses. I don't know if it's called an exactor or an extractor or whatever it's called. but it was one of those group bets. So there was probably, I don't know how many of us, 30 there. There was a lot of people. Drew's a popular guy. But one thing you didn't mention is that our buddy Neil, who we call Rocky, wears glasses as you do, Drew. And it happened right after the race was over. And our buddy Adam Weitzman looked over. Neil had no idea that a bird had pooped on him and it was all over his glasses and it was raining. And it was just a really good time.
Raining, not poop, but I guess poop and a rain.
No. It wasn't raining poop. It wasn't raining men. It was actually raining.
All right. Let's get back to talking about the Winnipeg Jets.
Because going somewhere.
This was a tangent and then some. This segment of the show brought to you by Bernstein's Deli, official deli of Illegal Curve Hockey and home of the Illegal Curve Sandwich. Located in the Cordon Village Mall, Bernstein's Deli has been Winnipeg's deli destination for over 30 years. For more information, find them on Facebook or at bernsteinsdeli.com. Whatever you need, however you need it, Bernstein's Deli is there to help you during these uncertain times. Get in touch with them, bernsteinsdeli.com. What did you think about Connor Hellebuck's comments yesterday after getting pulled on Thursday night? And we know that Hellebuck is not one who's ever going to criticize his own play. But to say that he didn't think he got pulled, I thought was maybe a bridge too far for me.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that. And, you know, we talked about it with Teddy Wyman during the first hour of the show, right? Like, Hellebuck says things that you don't expect, right? Like, he is not... He shoots from the heart, right? I think is what I would say. But yeah, I just find Hellebuck's comments a lot of the time funny, right? So again, I've already gone on the record. I think the Jets are going to win tonight's game. I don't think they want to lose three games in a row, but I think a lot of it's going to come down to how well Hellebuck plays after a stinky performance. And, you know, I know a few things about stinky, so I know, you know, the importance of, you know, good hygiene. But no, Hellebuck, I think, is going to have a lot to do with that. But I do think that the Jets are going to come out with a much better start, because we know that those two goals in 70 seconds were a big reason why the Jets lost that game.
You might know something about hygiene. It doesn't necessarily mean that he practices good hygiene.
I can spell hygiene.
Can you go for it?
I can spell part of it.
Go for it.
Are you serious?
Oh, sure. Why not?
Hygiene.
Wrong. It's G-E-I.
That's what I said.
No, you didn't. You said G-G-I-E.
What is this, a spelling bee?
Dave, what are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, big shout out to our boy Gary Lawless in Vegas. He's currently listening to us while making everybody jealous of the 75 degrees. It's in Vegas, but he's tuning into the Legal Curve Hockey Show. So big shout out to our friend Gary Lawless, formerly of the Winnipeg Free Press, TSN 1290, big longtime friend. My thoughts about what, Drew? Sorry, I lost my track of thought.
About Hellebuck's comments on Thursday night or yesterday afternoon after his performance on Thursday night.
I would
hold on. I just checked. I spelled hygiene right.
Yeah. Quiet. No more talking from you.
I'm not sure what was worse, is the fact that Drew confused you or if Drew actually believed
hygiene is spelled H-Y-G-I-E-N-E. And then Drew said it's spelled H-Y-G-E-I-N-E.
I got it wrong. I was going to say, I think Drew's eating a little bit of,
Crow.
You're eating some crow. So anyways,
I've eaten that before. It's not that bad.
Yeah, you've also had horse. So anyways, let's just cover everything today. Lapita's really not going to be listening to us at this show. But anyways, look, Connor Hellebuyck has been like this. I mean, he wasn't like this in the AHL so much, probably because there was like all of one person covering him, and it would be myself and you know, the usually Mitch Peacock, the other media guy, and Russ Hobson. Shout out to Russ Hobson from Global News. He'd be there as well. But
Russ, sports guy.
But there was a different sort of element. You didn't have that sort of pressure on you. And I think once he got to the NHL, he just, not to say that he didn't have that confidence in the AHL, but it wasn't like that. If he didn't have a performance, it didn't feel like he's tried to sell you a bad performance was a good performance. And again, I just think that that's who Connor Hellebuyck is. And that's just what, it's kind of his mantra. It's his philosophy. It's his thing. And again, like I said, you can disagree with it. I mean, again, I can't tell you how many times he has a stinky performance. People say to me, and it's not obviously guy wins a Vezina, doesn't have very many of those, but if he does, and he's human, so those are going to happen. And people will be like, what was he talking about? But I just think that's what he is. I think that's who he is. And I think the reality is the Jets love that about him, because it's that attitude that he displays. Again, the guy wins the Vezina trophy. He didn't do that by accident. And we all talked about this Jets team and what the defense looked like last year, and he still won the Vezina trophy. So he's a pretty good goaltender. And I think that gives him a little bit of latitude to say the things that he does when he has performances that we as lay people would judge as less than ideal. And again, look, it's not to say that Connor Hellebuyck is infallible and can say whatever he wants. And you know, you have, the sky is green, and it's not. And you're like, okay, well, if he says it's green, I'm just saying, when he's talking about his own personal performance, I don't have a problem with the way he visualizes things, because it obviously works for him.
But Dave, can you spell infallible though? That's what Drew wants to know.
Do you remember that Jason Bateman movie when what was that, when he like as an adult somehow got into the spelling bee? I don't know what was it called, but it was,
I think it was called Spellbound.
Was it? I don't think it was. But anyway,
Spellbound.
No, it was a very good one, but I know that spelling is competitive in the U.S. It's not something I'm super interested in, though.
Scripps.
That's the spelling bee. Yes, that is correct. That's you're right about that. That one I'll give you full credit for.
Just stick to the scripts, Drew.
I believe the movie you're referencing, Dave, is called Bad Words.
Oh, Bad Words, yes.
Yeah, featuring Jason Bateman.
Yeah, big fan.
Which is also, ironically, the title of the Legal Curves book.
You know, I going back to Hellebuyck's comments, you know, I thought that, you know, again, I don't expect him to really ever criticize himself. That's just clearly the psychological approach he has taken. And good for him. Who am I to criticize somebody else's psychological approach that they feel makes them the best athlete possible? But to me, you know, I thought, you know, here's the exact quote. It was a 3-2 game, and I don't think I should have been pulled. That's as far as I'll go on that. I don't know, something about that. Maybe the end of the line, that's as far as I'll go on that.
I don't think he's wrong. Like
hey, you don't think he's wrong? You don't think that he was worth of being pulled there?
Well, no. Well, I only thought one of the goals was bad. If you want to break down the goals, like, I thought the Wayne Simmonds goal was really the only bad goal. Like, Auston Matthews' goal, we talked about this on the post-game show, Drew, but I know that you've, you know, watched the replays of the goals. I mean, like, that was a nice shot, short side by Auston Matthews. Like, we're talking about one of the best shooters in the entire game. So let's say that the Auston Matthews' goal wasn't a quote-unquote bad goal. Like, is the Jason Spezza goal that came on a delayed penalty, like, to me, that, you know, that gets deflected a little bit, and we know all it takes is a little bit of a direction in the change of the puck. Like, don't get me wrong, I think Hellebuyck, that's a shot from the point. You know, regardless if it's tipped, you should probably stop that. But I think at most two of those were bad goals. So no goalie ever likes to get pulled, Drew, right? And I get that, you know, those comments are a little bit controversial. But I honestly think if Hellebuyck has a strong game tonight, and there's no reason to expect him to have anything but a strong performance, I don't think we're going to be talking about this, you know, a day from now or 2 days from now. That's just my take. Probably a bad take, but
no. I agree with you there. And exactly to your point, you know, Connor Hellebuyck is, if he's not the best goalie in the game, he's certainly in the top two or the top three of the best goalies in the game. So I certainly don't expect there to be any lingering controversy, for lack of better, you know, word right now. I think he's going to be, to your point, Ezzy, I think he's going to be very good tonight, because he usually bounces back very well, and the Jets certainly have not lost three games in a row all season long, which is what would happen tonight if they were to lose. You know, sort of feels like there's been this big gap, and there has been, so you forget that they're on this two-game losing streak, which we'd all gone apoplectic about earlier this season. But you know, just something about maybe the I'll just leave it at, or that's as far as I'll go on that, left me with a little bit of a sour taste in his comments. And it's quite possible, Dave, that I'm reading far too much into it. Sometimes a goalie gets pulled not solely because of their performance. Sometimes it's a bit of a wake-up call to the team in front of them.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think that's as much of what that was on Thursday night as it was his performance not being A+.
Yeah, I mean, it's entirely possible, Drew. But again, like I said, like I don't get overly worked up over the comments. I think they're. I mean, you could say maybe that was a shot across the bow, but Connor Hellebuyck isn't really like that. I just think he's just a guy who just he doesn't want to get down into the weeds. He doesn't want to say something he's going to regret. And again, like I said, you get a guy even the day later, he's not happy about it. And I've said this before. I've walked, you know, when we'd go and do post game in the room, and I'd walk into the Jets room, and you'd see him right after game talking to Wade Flaherty, right? And so he breaks down his game. He's hypercritical, hypersensitive. You don't get to become a high performance athlete, which none of us are, but you don't get to become that by
we're accident. Low performance athletes.
Yeah,
exactly. We're not even athletes, actually.
We're just low performance. Yeah.
Low performance humans.
Yeah. So I would just suggest though that again, like I said, I don't get overly worked up about things athletes say. You know, sometimes their comments are interesting. This is just Connor Hellebuyck being Connor Hellebuyck, and he just doesn't want to get down too far down into the weeds with this sort of dialogue. I think he just, like I said, wants to keep things the way he sees it, and doesn't really want to keep on rolling.
Fair comment, fair response there. You know, Jets obviously played tonight against Toronto. They got the Oilers coming in, Monday, Wednesday. Then they go to Montreal for that one-off game. And then I believe, aside from one game more against the Leafs, that Friday, May 14th game, the rest of their schedule is against non-playoff teams. Are the next four games really sort of the what I'll describe as almost the end of the Jets' regular season? And where after that game against Montreal, well,
they've
next
got six
Friday,
games after that.
You know what I meant. So now I'm not going to
I'm just feeling hot after correctly spelling hygiene, Drew.
Yeah.
Like I feel like I can write my dissertation right now.
How did your law school LSAT go?
Yeah, no, I didn't get into law school. That's right. Thank you for making me feel depressed, Drew, after getting a 147. But, you know, it worked out pretty well.
This is, forget it. I'm not even going to go there. I'll save it for a different show.
Yeah, it worked out for Dan Minuke. That's all that matters.
How important are the next four games there, Dave? You know, after tonight, well, and then there's sort of that stretch to end the season against non-playoff teams.
This game is now taken on greater importance than it had before for me. I thought the set against Toronto, while important because you know, it's a battle for first and whatever. It had some significance, but I thought the Oilers games were much more significant. I thought that the way the Jets have played against the Oilers so far this season, including the way it started on this homestand, losing 3-0 to Edmonton in a rather listless game. I thought, how do you bounce back and play Edmonton now? You've lost three in a row to the Oilers, the two on that road trip out west, and then the one here. You really can't afford, because Edmonton's kind of had your number, I think. And again, like I said, I don't know that it would carry over, because you're going to play another you know, seven games in between the last Oilers game, or whatever it is, five games, six games between that last Oilers game and the end of the regular season. But I think psychologically it does help you a little bit if you can kind of get over that hump. You don't want to say, oh, well, we've lost seven times to the Oilers, and once I think was like an OT win or a shootout win, whatever it was. So I think the Oilers would be feeling pretty puffed up playing the Winnipeg Jets. And again, playoff hockey is a different animal, so it's not necessarily going to be representative of what happens in the regular season. But at the same time, you just kind of have to have that mentality. So I think it's very important. Again, you know, it's interesting because, like, you don't have Adam Lowry, so you don't have your ideal forward lineup. You're still tweaking your defensive groups, so defensive pairings. So it's going to be interesting in the sense that, and Paul Maurice alluded to this fact in the sense that he's not using these as measuring stick games. They're important. He says you can still learn from them and evaluate, but it's not essentially the, quote, full team. Again, not ideal, but I just think that you need to have you have to come up with wins against all. Do you have to win the next three? No, but I think you need to have performances that are indicative of a team that can go toe to toe with these teams. Even if you don't win, you want to see that 60-minute effort is there, and that your team can compete. And that's all that really is important in these types of games.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Dave. I mean, yeah, the importance of the games in terms of making the playoffs or not, obviously, you know, if the Jets win tonight versus the Leafs, they still are in it for first place. If they don't get at least a point, I mean, it's virtually impossible, right? Like if you're 6 or 7 points behind the Leafs, guys, with 9 games left in the season, it's not going to happen. But yeah, you have to have better performances against the Oilers, certainly, you know, considering the way, you know, the Jets have played them, the way the Oilers have handled them. I mean, Connor McDavid, he's tearing up the entire league. So, you know, don't expect to shut down McDavid necessarily on Monday night. But, yeah, you got to show yourselves that you can beat this team, knowing that you're going to have to beat them 4 times to get to the second round of the playoffs. So I agree with you. But, yeah, after that, Drew, and you start playing some of those non-playoff teams like the games against Vancouver, yeah, those games are going to be basically meaningless.
Yeah, that's just it. So I think that you really sort of bear down for the next 4 games, and then maybe that's when you get to maybe try and rest some guys. Paul Maurice might be, you know, when they play those non-playoff teams, Ottawa, Calgary, a couple against Vancouver, and then is there another one against Ottawa, and then Toronto, of course, on that Friday, May 14th, to wrap the regular season ahead of what will be a very interesting playoffs, likely the Jets and the Oilers, of course, which makes Monday's game and Wednesday's game have a little bit more significance. Worth noting, the Oilers will have had a big gap before Monday's game. I think they last played this past Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken, against the Montreal Canadiens, and then they get this another sort of 5 days off before they play the Jets in town here on Monday. Let's pay some bills, run some ads. We're going to be joined by Mike McKenna, Golden Knights analyst, talk about the best team in the NHL by points. That is the Vegas Golden Knights. Much more to come. You're watching, you're listening, you're chatting with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms.
Keeping Winnipeg laughing for over 30 years. Rumors, Canada's longest running comedy club, bringing you the biggest laughs from the best comedians on the planet. Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the greats, and all the up-and-comers too. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends or book your office or birthday party. Even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Hey, Drew.
Ezzy, whoa, what a smile!
Yeah, I got my crowns done at Linden Market Dental Center, and they whitened my teeth.
I see.
They're so bright that every time I smile, they go,
"We have hockey tonight. Do you have a mouth guard to protect those pearly whites?"
I sure do.
Whoa, they even ting through the mouth guard.
Linden Market Dental Center covers all your dental needs, from restorative to cosmetic dentistry, and will fit you with a sports guard for that active lifestyle. 877 Waverly, see lindenmarketdental.com.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
While you can't always count on your team winning, nor your favorite player scoring, one thing you can always count on is Bernstein's Deli. They've expanded their services because the team at Bernstein's Deli wants to accommodate your needs and keep you safe. Open Tuesday to Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. to serve you. Head to your phone, in-store or online to shop for groceries or order meals from the restaurant, like the legendary Illegal Curve Sandwich. Just go to bernsteinsdeli.com.
So you're a pizza person, you married a wing person, but somehow your kids are salad people. You can't pick your fam, but you can pick your BP meal deal, starting from $18.99 for takeout or delivery at bostonpizza.com.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Saturday morning, this segment of the show brought to you by Boston Pizza. Boston Pizza has the perfect starting lineup tonight with the BP Game Day Meal Deal. Choose two of your favorite medium gourmet pizzas, along with a triple order of Boston's famous wings, plus two dipping sauces, all for $54.99. It serves 5 to 6 people. Available for takeout and delivery only at bostonpizza.com or download the MyBP app. We're pleased to welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Vegas Golden Knights analyst Mike McKenna. Mike, good morning. Nice to see you. Thanks so much for joining us.
I'm great. You know what's awesome about this is that I can actually see your faces. I'm on several alumni committees, and there's these different like councils, and we used to do these things by conference call all the time. And I couldn't stand conference calls because you know why everybody does this? They put it on mute, and then it becomes your turn to talk, and you forget. And like, you do this face-to-face. How much better is everything? So it's very nice to see everybody. Thanks for having me.
And Mike, I wasn't lying, right? Like when we were back on the radio days, I would always text you that we're three, you know, really handsome guys. So now, you know, it's confirmed, right?
Oh, Ezra, you are beautiful. Like I didn't realize just the level of maintain and upkeep you have on.
Yeah. Like I've gotten Brad Pitt. I've got Richard Gere. Like it's, you know, I don't really.
I mean, very George Clooney-esque. Dave, yeah, you can take a hike with that Cubs hat. Other than that, I mean, we're all good here. So, and Drew, that's a football. Okay. And oh, look, we got curling too. So this is so much fun.
Exactly. Mike, we appreciate you joining us. And that's a hell of a way to start the interview. That's for sure. The Vegas Golden Knights, the top team in the NHL based on points earned, 68 points in 46 games played. They've won 8 in a row. I mean, what obviously everything's going right for this Vegas Golden Knights team right now. But, you know, if you had to pinpoint one catalyst, what would it be?
Well, let's talk in recent terms more than anything, because you're on an 8-game streak. And in the last 5-6 games, you've seen the big dogs come through. Stone is on a heat point streak, multi-game point streak. Pacioretty, Theodore, you know, they've played really good hockey. But what led to that previous at the start of the streak, and even when they were struggling a little bit, it was the depth scoring was really coming through. You had players like Tomáš Nosek, who was on a heater. Nick Waugh started scoring his first half of the year. Nothing went right. Now he's finding the net. It's going. So the depth has really played in. Of course, they've had great goaltending all season long. And that's a strength of theirs, is that this condensed schedule, they can trot out a fresh goaltender for every game. And you've got Robin Leonard, who's always at the top of the top of the statistics in the league. Marc-Andre Fleury has had a resurgent year and been so good, both of them combined. So, you know, you kind of factor it all in right now, and Vegas is playing their best, deepest hockey throughout the lineup, and they've also had a little bit lighter schedule recently. This win streak's happened against LA and Anaheim and Arizona, teams that can push them at times, but they're not quite Minnesota and Colorado. So that's the big test coming up.
You know, Mike, we want to get back to the goaltending, because I think nobody's going to disagree that, you know, the Golden Knights have arguably the best goaltending depth in the league. And I agree, Marc-Andre Fleury is, I think you'd agree, most likely going to the Hall of Fame, and he's having a fantastic season. I have to ask you about Chandler Stephenson, because I remember when, you know, that trade happened, you know, for a 5th-round pick, you know, turns that into a 4-year contract. He's centering the top line with Mark Stone and Max Pacioretty. And, you know, the criticism of the Golden Knights has been that, you know, maybe the center depth isn't as good as some other teams, you know, maybe like a Colorado or Winnipeg, for example. But just how good of a story is Chandler Stephenson? Because, you know, he's having just another fantastic year for the Golden Knights, and they got him for a 5th-round pick, and he just, you know, continues to excel on that top line.
Yeah, it's a great observation. Stephenson is the catalyst for the top line between Stone and Pacioretty. And at the start of training camp, that was not a done deal. You know, there were still question marks. Hey, does Cody Glass fit in, who went, I believe, 7th overall in the draft a couple of years ago? Well, Cody didn't grab it in camp. And then when Stephenson got hurt, Cody Glass goes back between the two of them, and the chemistry just wasn't there with Stone and Pacioretty flanking. And then Stephenson goes back in, and it's just bang, things start to click again. And it's because he's so fast. And guys, there's one thing in hockey, and especially in today's game, that will always give you an opportunity, and it's speed. You can't teach it. You can try to improve it, but man, that's just a given ability. And Stephenson is so good with it. And what it does is that it doesn't even matter if he has the puck. And this is why his point totals don't necessarily mimic Stone and Pacioretty, but he's the first guy in on the forecheck. He's the guy who blows the zone. He's the guy that pushes the D back. And what that does is give Mark Stone all the space and the time in the world to make plays. And he's so intelligent. His hockey IQ is through the roof, Stone I'm speaking of, that it gets a chance to give it to Pacioretty, get a puck on his blade. They work together so well. And, you know, Stephenson is just the engine to that line. But it's carried for him, right? His confidence comes with it. Now he's starting to play some power play. He's doing things that he did in junior hockey in the Western League when he put a lot of points up, and the things that he did in the American Hockey League when he put points up. Now he's got the opportunity, because in Washington, they were so deep at center, he really didn't get the chance to grab a top-line role like he has in Vegas.
Mike McKenna is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms talking about the Golden Knights. They're atop the NHL in terms of points earned this year. They've won 8 games in a row.
You know, Mike, I forgot you're a St. Louis guy, and so wearing the Cubs hat would be an insult to you. Usually I try to be a little cognizant of that. The best I could do is...
Man, I didn't wear a Cardinals hat.
I have a Pirates hat beside me.
Oh, the Buccos.
Yeah, I've got lots of hats, but I mean, I just happened to throw this one on, match my shirt, and then I realized it might be a bit insulting to you.
Oh, no, it's a friendly rivalry, man. Yes. Like, for real. Like, it's... I know, I've got friends that take it, like, militant. Trust me, if they see a Cubs hat, they're like, Cubs side! And that's not me. It's a friendly rival. I've been to Wrigley. I appreciate it all. So I just wanted to give you a fun ribbing, man. I love it.
The truth is I'm actually a Jays fan. I just like hats. So I got lots of different ones.
Awesome.
In the repertoire. You know, one thing I want, speaking of being a fan, what's it like having fans back in the building in Vegas? Because, you know, here in Canada, like I'm at the hockey games in the arena, and I got to tell you, sometimes it's, I don't want to use the word surreal, but it's so unusual to be in this, you know, 10,000 plus 20,000 for you guys plus mm-hmm. building. And there's no fans there. And just the element, and you're a former player, so you know what it's like to have to try and get your energy level up. What's it like now having fans come back? I know it's in a different capacity, but what's it like being having them back in the building?
You know, I don't think people ever realized how loud and how much of a difference 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 fans can make. Mm-hmm. In Vegas, they've been putting in 3,950 fans for the past several weeks. And they're loud. Like, you don't even have to pump the crowd noise in anymore. And it's just, it's such a departure from what like the bubble was like, where, like you said, it was surreal. And some teams were able to get around that. Others weren't. Like, you look at St. Louis went to the bubble last year. It's like, they didn't want to be there. They couldn't find that inspiration or that energy. Whereas other clubs fed off of it and they somehow found a way internally to make it happen. But Vegas still feels a home ice advantage at home. It's a big reason why they want to make sure they finish, if not at the top of the division in the Honda West, at least second at the bare minimum. They want to have home ice advantage as long as they can, because their fans make a difference and they feed off of it. Like, when that place gets going, it can, especially from a goalie's perspective, you get one or two goals against and a building gets loud and you start spiraling mentally, because like, you can't hear yourself think. A puck gets dumped around the board. You go out to play it. You can't hear your defenseman. You know, like, these are things that all happen. And that happened to me in the Boston Garden once. I remember I got scored on, puck gets dumped in. I go to play it and I couldn't hear anything. So I just like rimmed it around the glass and it's coming right back down my throat, you know? And yeah, that's like, those are real things. And even with 4,000 people, you can feel it. And it's not just, this is not lip service. Like, players say it all the time. Oh, we got the greatest fans in the world. Every city says that. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I think the players actually, in a lot of cases, believe that because they have a connection to their fan base. That's where it comes from. There's no real metric for the best fans out there. Mm-hmm. But in Vegas, man, if you've ever been in that building, it's just different. Like, the city is crazy for hockey. And not just hockey, for the Golden Knights. Like, there's a very special connection in Vegas to that team on a very visceral level. The things that happened leading up to the first game of the entire franchise are the basis and the root of all of that. Worst tragedy ever in that city. And a lot, like, you know, it's hard to put words to it and how people rallied and galvanized around it. And it all plays into it, right? Like, there's a bigger sense of community in Vegas to what that team means in a lot of cities.
Mike McKenna, our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Mike is a Vegas Golden Knights studio analyst. Golden Knights winners of 8 games in a row, playing some great hockey as of late. Mike, if you go back 1 month, you go back to March 24th through today, Marc-Andre Fleury has played 9 games. Robin Lehner's played 7 games. Lehner has the better save percentage and the better goals against average. Game 1 of the playoffs, who gets the start? And if it's Lehner, does Alan Walsh handle it better than he did last year?
Well, listen, I really don't know what direction it's going to go, because we're hypotheticals are tough, man. Like, Drew, you're tossing me a hard one here, because we're trying to like put the Swami hat on and go for it, right? But I honest to God don't know who would start the first game, because to me they've been equal. And like, I really think about this, that either goaltender for the Golden Knights could win them to a Stanley Cup. Truly. Truly, truly believe that. I wonder if it's not a rotation in playoffs. And I don't mean like a straight up 1-to-1, but I mean like, if somebody goes for a couple games and they're feeling it, they run them. And then if it goes off, they go to the next guy. Like, the mindset of the goaltenders playing there, of Fleury, of Leonard, they're winning. They're having fun. They're part of something bigger that knows they have a chance. Like, you have the ultimate teammates and mindset with that. And selfishly, man, you want to be on the ice for everything, right? Like, it's your net. You know, you never want to lose your net. But you also, in this type of really unique scenario, and especially as condensed as this season is, you realize what's going on. And you realize why this team's been successful. It's because both guys are feeding off one another. They're pushing each other for sure. Like, there's competition there. Like, you can't tell me that Robin Leonard doesn't want to outplay Marc-Andre Fleury and play every game. And vice versa, right? But that's healthy. That's good. That's what professional athletes that really strive for success want. So I honestly don't know who would play the first game. But I truly think that as the playoffs go along, you're probably going to see both guys for the Vegas Golden Knights at some point. It's just what mixture. That's what we don't know.
Mike, I wanted to ask you about, you know, the pressure that's on this Golden Knights team, because I think you would agree that, you know, any team that is in the playoffs or trying to get into the playoffs, there's pressure varying degrees, right? But, you know, we talk about it oftentimes here in Winnipeg. You know, like a couple of years ago, St. Louis, your hometown beat, you know, the Blues beat the Jets in the first round. Then last year, they don't even get it out of the qualification round. And I think there's some parallels between the Jets and the Golden Knights, you know, going to the West Final, obviously beating the Jets, getting to the Stanley Cup Final, but ultimately not winning the Stanley Cup. But the moves that the Golden Knights have made over the years, and most recently, you know, bringing in Alex Pietrangelo and signing him to that big contract, like, is it? I mean, this might be, you know, goes without saying, but is it basically Stanley Cup or bust for the Golden Knights, or at the very least, getting to the Stanley Cup Final? Because to me, it seems like, you know, getting to the second round or third round just isn't going to cut it when you have such a talented group.
Well, I think anything less than the cup's a failure, and that's the way they're looking at it, right? And you know, for myself, I think the metric is always if you've played your best, you can hang your hat on that. But you're exactly right. When you have a team this deep, you also are very cognizant of the fact that how many years of chances do you have at this? You know, at some point, that will go away. You can't have a dynasty for 10 years. Nobody has. It just doesn't happen. So you do have a window. And I think the players and the team are very aware that, hey, like, we've got a couple of years here for sure with our core group. And we got to make this happen. And it comes from the top on down. I mean, Bill Foley is very outspoken. And he's said very clearly, like, it's time to win Stanley Cups. You know, we're in year four. We've taken big swings. We have a lineup that we know can do it, that we've iced, that's ready to take that next step. Hard part is there's 31 teams in the league. And anybody who's played knows just how difficult it is to win and all the extraneous circumstances that can sewer a team. Two players get hurt, maybe it's over. You know what I mean? Any fantasy hockey can tell you, owner can tell you the same thing, guys. I can tell you what, I got invited to a fantasy hockey league for the first time in my life as a, you know, post playing career. And I've realized now why people live and die by this stuff, right? Like, I mean, man, we had one night where we had three players go out of the lineup and I'm like, we're done. It's over. And it's, but it kind of makes you think like with a GM hat. And as a player, you don't do that very often. Like, you're just going and you're playing the game and you think your team's invincible. You can win no matter what. It doesn't matter if we lose five guys. We can win no matter what. That's our culture. That's our identity. But it does matter. And I think you're spot on, Ezra, that it's for the Golden Knights with that lineup and the way they've played. Like, they've backed it up on the ice. This isn't just a matter of having a good lineup. They've backed it up. They've beaten good teams. It's win or bust. They have to. In their eyes, that's what needs to happen.
Mike McKenna, our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms talking about the Golden Knights. That's the franchise. That's the team that Mike is a studio analyst for.
Well, we're also going to ask Mike about the Silver Knights, because if you go about 20 minutes southeast of Vegas, you have the Silver Knights. And one of the benefits we see here, Mike, in Winnipeg is that you have the Winnipeg Jets, you have the Manitoba Moose. You can watch both teams. I mean, generally, they play out of the same building. Not this season. They've moved the Moose up to the Iceplex. But you're fairly close, and you get a chance to watch them. What benefit has the organization seen moving from Chicago, moving their prospects over to Henderson and playing with them with the Silver Knights?
Well, there's the obvious side of things. And also, like, I've been lucky enough this year, I'm doing color commentary on those games. We do 10 of them on TV a year. And man, like, hey, I love being an analyst, but color commentary is really like the goal. Like, especially like my personality. I'm like, I'm so excited to talk on air about hockey, like in a fast manner and in the moment. And, but you know, getting to see those games firsthand is, it's great to see the prospects who are ready to go. And the front office gets that same perspective.
Mm-hmm.
They can see them in person. They're not relying on video. They're in-house. They can control their training, their diet, all those type of things. The biggest benefit, I would argue, is that the way the Golden Knights are able to manage salary cap with moving players all around, not having to send them on planes to Chicago and back. And like, it's a lot of paper transactions, and it affords you the availability to run your team right against the cap while not taking up roster space, you know? And obviously things are different in COVID world. You're not traveling as much, so you don't need to carry extra players like you used to in the past. But you see this in Winnipeg, right? They can do the same thing, that you can manage things easier having that in-house. So I think that's a big aspect. I think a Nick Waugh last year, I mean, this guy, I don't know how many, I think I have a lot of air miles. I'm telling you, this guy on like, I'm telling you, if he was flying like Southwest, this guy's never like sitting, he's getting on A1 for every flight the rest of his life after last season. And so, you know, that's a real benefit. It's also, your players aren't being shuttled around. They can sleep in their own bed. They can rent one place. Like, from the player's perspective, that's unbelievable. And I know, like, in Winnipeg, that's a big draw for players with the Moose, that if you sign with us, hey, you're in this city, you can be here, you live in one place. And especially for older players, like if you're a veteran who's maybe a swing guy and you know you're going to be called up a bit, you got a family, you factor those things into account. So it really works, not just from the player side, but from the management side. It's kind of symbiotic in that way.
Mike, last question for you. You look at those West Division standings, and the Golden Knights are 2 points up on the Avs. The Avs have the two games in hand. Minnesota seems, you know, I'm going to say Minnesota's going to finish third there. How important is it between the Golden Knights and the Avs to avoid the Wild, a very impressive Wild team, in that first round, and instead get, my words, not yours, the bye against the fourth place team, be it the Coyotes or the Blues, or I suppose the Sharks and the Kings have an outside shot still?
Yeah, that's your words. I'm not hanging my hat on a bye in the first round.
My words.
Remember the Blue Jackets and Lightning?
Yeah.
2 years ago, right? Nobody gave them a chance, but it is real, because Minnesota's pushed Vegas harder than anybody in the division, even harder than Colorado. Minnesota has the winning record against the Golden Knights. And, you know, the Golden Knights aren't fearful of anybody, but you're aware of the task at hand. You know teams that you match up well against. And Minnesota's gotten really good goaltending in some of the games from Talbot. Kakinen's had a nice game or two as well. But it's really the forecheck. Like, they bring it hard to Vegas. They get on their D. They stifle the breakout. So much of what Vegas does is from the D zone out. It's that first pass. It's that quick movement. It's D in transition. And so they've given them fits. I mean, if I'm the Golden Knights, I would much rather play number four than potentially play Minnesota for those reasons. I'd let Colorado take care of that. Let them battle it out. Hope it goes seven games and move yourself on. But it's going to be tough no matter what, because like, Colorado's a wagon. Minnesota's way better than people thought. And they are good. They are real. That's not a mirage. And then beyond that, man, who knows? Like, I do see the number four slot as being a lot different, but who can guarantee anything in this world? We know that firsthand. We've seen it play out before, right?
Yeah.
Mike, sorry. I know Drew said that was going to be the last question, but I was wondering if you could just give us a quick review of Bring It On.
Oh, so here's the deal. Obviously, Ezra,
by the way, Drew has no idea what I'm talking about.
Following me,
like the cheerleader movie.
So yeah, well, I'm sitting here, you know, in the living room last night, and Mrs. McKenna may have decided seen it twice to
in theaters. Just throwing that out there.
I saw it once in a theater. I'm 38 years old, and I believe it came out in maybe 2000 or 2001, and I will regretfully say that I went along to see it. Because, you know, I was dating somebody that seemed to enjoy that type of thing and just trying to, you know, be good. And yeah, it was a long play. We'll say that. but that turned out to be a very wrong, long play, a very, very wrong, long play with that person. But yeah, I saw Bring It On back then. And then last night, Mrs. McKenna tosses it on out of nowhere. And I'm looking up and I'm just going, it's giving me bad memories. And then the funny part is, like, you look back at these movies of your youth. And teenage years for me, and you laugh at it, because you start to see like the style and the music, and no matter how awful that movie may be in my eyes, there's a lot of nostalgia to it. So like, from the movie factor, it's still a solid 1 out of 10, but the nostalgia factor is probably more like a 7.5 or 8 out of 10. You know what I mean? So like, I think perspective changes things, and it's kind of, as much as I complained about it, like, part of me had this moment where I was like, man, this is actually kind of cool. I miss those days with the baggy pants and the midriff showing and, you know, spiky hair.
Yeah, Mike, I know that, you know, Mike was watching that last night because I follow Mike on Instagram. I can't believe Drew's not following Mike on Instagram, by the way. Let's get serious here, Drew.
You know, there were some toros in the atmosphere last night, and it was a little bit, too cold, and I couldn't do it as a result. But I'll get right on that right afterwards there.
I just can't believe they let the veterans pick the team, the cheerleading team. It's high school. Like, they don't have coaches, you know?
And then they hired this guy who was peddling the same routine up and down the California coast. It was a real scandal.
Take it easy, Drew.
Plot holes just don't matter, do they? No. But yeah, no. Memory lane, man.
Mike, at least you went and saw the movie with someone of the opposite sex. I saw it with a group of guys, and there was nary a female around us when we went to see it, let me tell you. But that might speak more about me as a 19 or an 18-year-old than it does about anything else.
I think at that point, Drew also wanted to be a cheerleader, so I think that factored in as well. But
I have friends that had cheerleading scholarships, male friends, female friends. That is a demanding sport.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, I'm just Mike, I'm really just jealous. I was good at was, you know, eating nachos and drinking beer. So I'm just,
I just got a text from my dad. He says that Bring It On is one of his favorites. So I think on that note, that's probably not worth asking any follow-up questions of my father as to why he was watching a teenager cheerleader movie, but let's just leave it right
or
there.
The show. I mean, that's another reason. So you might want to ask him about that as well.
Mike McKenna is a Golden Knights studio analyst. He also does analysis on the Henderson Silver Knights broadcasts. Mike, we appreciate your time. We appreciate your insight. Thanks so much for joining us.
Happy to, guys. Lots of fun. Mike. Thanks for having me.
A lot of fun. Take care, Mike. There he goes. Mike McKenna joining us on the program. But this has been a doozy.
I threw you off there, Drew. I knew you had no idea what I was talking about.
At least you threw it to a movie, Ezzy, that I have a lot of experience having watched on more than one occasion, at least.
What would a group of 18-year-old guys with no, were there any girls at that movie? Not that there's anything.
There weren't any girls with us at the movie. There were other girls at the movie, but
maybe you guys were geniuses. Maybe you thought, well, they'll go to where there's going to be a lot of women.
It is a classic film, like the rivalries between the two schools and Kirsten Dunst. It's a nice little bit of acting she does in that movie.
It was a fantastic film. There's no question about that. But I really did not expect to have a conversation about it during today's show. But that's what Mike brings, and Ezzy, you obviously do your research, creeping on our guests' Instagrams ahead of the show.
Anytime one of our guests is post something on Instagram about a early 2000s movie they watch, I make sure that I bring it up.
There you go. That's an admirable goal. Let's wrap it up. We got the post game show to come later on tonight after the Jets and the Leafs. Reminder, the Illegal Curve post game show back here on our YouTube channel. So you can get ready for that when the final buzzer goes right around probably 8:35, give or take a few minutes at that point in time. Final thoughts ahead of tonight's Jets-Leafs game. We know that if the Jets win, Ezzy loses his beard. So that's really...
And gets a haircut.
Yes. I assume that the players will have extra motivation knowing that.
Yeah. I've already, texted most of the boys, so they're aware. But no, I already said it. I mean, I'm guaranteeing a Jets win tonight, boys. I think, you know, Hellebuck has something to prove. He wasn't happy with the way he played 3 goals on 6 shots. And obviously, you know, Dave, they're going to get a, you know, injection of energy from Jansen Harkins. Logan Stanley's back in the lineup. I think it's going to be a chippy game. I don't know if there's going to be a fight. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a fight. But, you know, I think this game has some meaning, not necessarily, you know, so much in terms of points. But I don't think – look, the Leafs have beat the Jets 6 times in a row in Winnipeg. Like, I think the Jets are tired of losing to the Leafs in their home building. So I think this is probably going to be a lower-scoring game, Dave. But with these two offenses, I wouldn't bet on it. But, it should be a good one tonight.
Dave, you get the final word.
Well, first of all, my first final word is going to be, like, why do we not have enough likes on the chat, guys? Come on, there's a lot of you in the chat still, so we want to, or you go and get your afternoon started. It's going to be not the nicest day here in Winnipeg, but the sun is going to be shining. It's going to be blue skies. So get out there, get some fresh air before you join us back for the post-game show. But before you leave, drop those likes. Make sure you come to illegalcurve.com. We have all the pre-game media availability that will be up there from the players, from Coach Paul Maurice. We'll have the lines. We'll have the D pairs. We have The news about Ville Heinola, who's been reassigned, will have the Moose game covered. That gets going at 1 o'clock. It could be, I think, the first time ever if Declan Chisholm, who was day-to-day, didn't play the last game, he plays, it would be every defenseman playing will be a Jets draft pick. So that'll be interesting. Eric Comrie going for his franchise. He'll have the franchise lead, surpassing Corey Schneider with 85 wins if he gets the win over Stockton. And the Moose are flying 4 wins in a row. So it'll be an interesting game there. Cole Perfetti, he's got a 4-game point streak. He's been playing real well. So lots to look forward to throughout the course of the day. Like I said, Moose starting at 1 o'clock, then the Jets at 6, and then back here with us. So lots to come. Make sure you go to LegalCurve.com, smash that like button, and thank you very much, everybody, for joining us.
Exactly. A very busy day. I want to say thank you to Ted Wyman. Thank you to David Alter. And thank you to Mike McKenna for joining us on this morning's program. I want to thank our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty, and Boston Pizza. Support these fine local businesses because they support Illegal Curve Hockey. For Dave Manouk, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. We remind you, the post-game show tonight, right around 8:30, give or take a few minutes, to talk about what happens between the Jets and the Leafs. But until then, we remind you, if it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.